listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas on 200 FSR stations across this great nation, 6 Eastern, 3 here in Vegas. And it's a Thursday, first Thursday in a while without Thursday night football. But man, we got a ton of action. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. Joined in studio by one of the pros who know, Brad Powers. We are emphasizing some college bowl action. In fact, Brad's got 5 underdogs, 5 money line dogs he thinks will win the game outright. Only 2 of them need to win for us to profit. Last year, profit, those that listened. But you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Thank you, RJ. Always good to be here. And on a day that we'll be covering major injury news in the NFL, a chance to make some coin during the college football bowl season, and a potential glimpse into the NBA's future, what is today's Vegas lead?
Yeah, to me... And again, this is the lead because it speaks to not only a specific game this weekend, but it speaks to a general direction in the league, and that is Tom Coughlin, 2-time Super Bowl champion, fired.
That's right. Former Jacksonville Jaguars head coach who rejoined the organization a couple of years ago, executive VP of football operations, Tom Coughlin, was fired by the organization on Thursday.
Yeah, and, you know, the first thing we always like to do is quantify it from Vegas. What's the Vegas numbers on it? And in the game itself, no adjustment. Falcons hosting Jags. Falcons favored by 7. Little bit of extra vig, 7 and a little extra. Hasn't moved an inch, not an inch off of today's news. Brad, gut instinct, what would you have said would have been the reaction to this?
Maybe even I'm going to go contrarian, positive. Maybe a relief from the Jacksonville players who've been under this pressure, getting fined from up above. Maybe it's a good thing Coughlin's no longer there.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that's contrarian. To me, that just makes common sense. The idea that we've seen, and this is something we've talked about multiple times on the show, on the podcast, we've seen Jacksonville look like they've given up in the second half of these games.
Yep.
And it's not that common in the NFL. They get graded on every play. It's not particularly common that a team gets flat, that a team, or not even flat, that a team gives up. It just doesn't happen very often.
You get hurt.
You can get hurt if you don't play 100% in football, especially at the NFL level. Agreed. The fact that Jacksonville really has been questionable in their effort late in games, my first thought was, oh, maybe it's Nick Foles. Minshew, the stash, there was a phenomenon with him. Now, the rich guy, the big contract, getting paid more than almost anyone, who played 8 throws, I think it was, before he got hurt the first time.
Yep.
Now he's back. Ah, F him. Maybe it was that. But then, not that long ago, you start hearing stuff about, there's a grievance. There's this, there's that, there's all these grievances. And then the players' unions coming out, the association saying, this is the type of team you should consider how egregious they are. That's why we have grievances, their egregiousness. The next time you decide on a team, whoa.
Yeah.
That's like, you don't hear that very often. If I can't recall necessarily hearing that at all. And then you're like, wow, this is bigger. This is deeper. So now it started making sense that the team looked like maybe the enthusiasm wasn't there. To me, this could be perceived as nothing but a move in the direction and move in the direction to fix the problem. If you are from the player's perspective, if you're a player and you felt like the Coughlin was too tough, the organization was too tough, getting rid of the guy who seemed to drive that seems like a step in the right direction. Is everything solved? No. Is there going to be a wait and see to some degree? You'd think. You can't be sure. But man, if you're firing the big name guy, the big name hire from a couple years ago, because of this, it feels like that the owner is hearing the player's gripes. How could that be anything but positive? What do you think, Jonas?
Where's the owner been this whole time when this was happening? It's not like there was one incident. It feels like Shad Khan was asleep at the wheel, didn't know what was happening with his own organization. And now because the reputation has gotten around, he wants to jump in and fire Tom Coughlin and show everybody, no, I got everything under control. Why did it get this far anyways?
Okay, so let's agree with the following. Or let's stipulate the following, that if you have a point, wouldn't this still be a positive move?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like, I agree. He's getting rid of whatever quote-unquote poison there is in the organization.
And maybe he's not getting rid of all of it. But to whatever degree that you were judgmental, negative, critical of Jacksonville yesterday, you'd have to be less so today. Right?
Yeah, but I still would go back to the question, why did it take so long?
No, and that's a valid one. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, which segues to me to be the bigger, big picture macro question here. To me, anyone that's all old school or anyone that's all, let's call it quote unquote progressive, forward looking, whatever we want to call it, modern, new age, I think that the extremes on both sides are almost indefensible, right? Anyone that says, well, you know what the response to a concussion should be? Bang your head, you know, go down and do the Oklahoma drill for about an hour, you know, which literally is what, you know, Mike Golic has talked about, used to be the way it was. And obviously there's a lot of people on record talking about such things, right? Tape it up. Okay. And now you got people literally that are, you know, damaged in ways they can't enjoy their lives over what? Ignorance, stupidity, whatever. It's hard to say we're ignorant now. Ignorant meaning uninformed, not knowing. Anyone that acts like they don't know a concussion is a bad thing and that needs a certain type of treatment that doesn't involve more blows to the head, well, you know, you are ignorant, but I don't think there's many of those people out there that think that that's okay. So, to some degree, and obviously we're going to the extreme in that case. Old school extreme isn't always defensible. Now, on the other hand, and I won't even try to go through, you know, various safe spaces or whatever, because sometimes maybe they're justified, sometimes they're not. But I think it's hard to debate reasonable thinking people that sometimes the progressiveness of things doesn't go too far. That, in my opinion, some of the player empowerment stuff probably go, or I don't think probably, I think at the extreme it goes too far. So now the question is, where's the line? And to me, the idea that Coughlin was this, Jonas, you know, to answer your question with a question, like, what's the assumption that Jacksonville was so egregious that Coughlin was so egregious? Now, I know that, and this is a shocking number, that 25% of the grievances filed across the league, 32 teams, were in the last 2 years directed at Jacksonville. So
that's,
you should
amazing.
Be, yeah, you should be what, 3%?
Yes.
And you're 25%. I mean, let me do some math here. Yeah, that's too many. Now, the question is that how bad Coughlin was? Or is that an example of a team that had a culture that was going to have grievances? All I know is Tom Coughlin won 2 Super Bowls. Tom Coughlin is 2-0 in the Super Bowl against Bill Belichick. The guy is not, he was renowned as a tough coach, but he wasn't there wasn't any sense he was abusing players. Has Coughlin changed, or has our standards in a society in a few short years changed that much?
The NFL standards have changed. Yeah, Tom Coughlin's been the same guy this whole time. I mean, they talked about it on the Giants when they won their first Super Bowl. Earlier that season, Michael Strahan had a back and forth with him, and Coughlin kind of, you know, dimmed down the hard approach to the players for the most part, but that was always still there, and it feels like he just was being Tom Coughlin with the Jaguars, but it's now turned into this players first type of league to where you've got to make sure that the players are happy as opposed to your front office guy.
Now, your question or your answer seems very measured and very thought out, but doesn't it contradict your question about, well, where was the eradication of this earlier, which presupposes it's like termites or something or cockroaches, you want to get rid of it for sure. Could it maybe be that the owner said, you know, a little bit of old school is not a bad thing, just so it's not too much. Khan didn't think it was too much. The players did. And eventually the avalanche of that became so much. It was like, whatever you think you're going to gain from the old school, if the reputation is such that players aren't going to come there in free agency or are going to be quick to leave when they have a chance or even force their way out like Ramsey, then maybe regardless of how, you know, let's say that I believed like Chaney did at Temple, you know, 5:30 a.m. practices, right? You know about that, Brad, yep. Right? Famous. Let's say I thought that really helped the team. But let's say that only half the players I could recruit, I would be actually able to recruit because of the 5:30. Meaning if it weren't for the 5:30, I could get all of these people, but I could only get half of them with the 5:30. Whatever gain you get from the 5:30 a.m. early start, you probably lose more than that by restricting the universe of players
yep.
that will participate or want to be involved in your program. It seems like maybe Khan believed in what Coughlin was doing from a distance, but now he sees all of this avalanche of negativity about it and said, well, you know, let's throw him overboard because it's not worth it. But are we sure that Khan or any thinking person believes Coughlin went too far? Because I haven't seen the examples that said, oh, that's egregious.
Yeah, and where were all these complaints? Less than 2 years ago, about 22 months ago, the Jacksonville Jaguars in the second half of the AFC Championship game were favored to make the Super Bowl. Where was all the complaining and the issues with Coughlin at that point?
Well, again, winning is a great a great healing ointment. I also think the fact that a team that close to the Super Bowl dropped off so quickly is another sign of internal problem. So I don't think it's debatable that the players genuinely have not liked the environment in Jacksonville.
Yep.
And ultimately, if you have to pick amongst these players, it doesn't matter how right it is in your mind. It's going to be net negative if the players revolt this much. The question is this a story about how egregious Coughlin was? Or is this a story about how sensitive the players are to any old school treatment these days? Final word.
I think there were reports out there that Tom Coughlin was getting ready to resign at the end of the season anyways. There's two games left. He was gone in 2 weeks. The fact that Shad Khan still made it a point to fire him was him sort of throwing up a flare gun to the rest of the league. Don't worry, I've got control over here, and this is a good place to go if you're a free agent.
And I think that's probably good business, but in the big picture, what's the ethos, what's the culture of this world we live in this American world or this American perspective on the world, is Tom Coughlin so quickly become a guy that wins two Super Bowls and is a favorite son in New York City? Has he moved to be someone who's almost like an albatross? You got to throw him off from around your neck because he's so old school. Man, unless he's changed, things have really changed in the last couple of years. And I'm not even saying I know where the line is, but man, the line seems to have moved drastically. When we come back, we're going to talk about Dak Prescott and his injury. I think there's a message in what they're saying and what they're not saying, and I think you can make money from it.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will talk about a major injury development in the NFL.
Welcome to the show. You've got my promise to deliver today's Vegas truth. You're the reason we're the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio, up 150% in 2019 alone. Each weekday at 6 Eastern, you can listen on hundreds of FSR stations, foxsportsradio.com, iHeartRadio app, even SiriusXM, and you can listen to the podcast anytime. Simply search for RJ Bell. Right now on the Strip, 57 degrees here in Vegas. The neon is flowing.
So, RJ, the game of the weekend in the NFL is the Eagles and the Cowboys from Philadelphia for more than likely the division there, the NFC East. And reports say that Dak Prescott is not expected to practice much before Sunday's big divisional game against the Eagles, according to Todd Archer of ESPN, because of his sprained right shoulder that he suffered last week against the Rams.
Yeah, and I was on Gottlieb every Thursday during football at 2:25 Pacific. And he mentioned something I didn't know. First time Dak has missed a practice in his career.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So let's go back to what Fezzik got schooled on last week, which was the coach came out for Tampa and said, oh, he has a fracture, but, he'll be okay. Wink, wink, fracture, right? And everyone's like, wait a minute, fracture, that's a problem. Everyone wanted to get off of Tampa. Here's the basic premise. Coaches, team officials, whatever, they're going to tell you things to deceive you. Not you necessarily as a batter or as a fan, but rather the opponent, the other team. If your guy's doing well, if he's fine, what do you want? You want there to be questions about him. Do they spend time on the backup? Do they think about, do we maybe press more? Do we not be afraid of the long ball if he has a fractured hand? Or on the other side, if he's really hurt, it sounds a lot like Dallas. Dallas is saying, oh, he's fine. Dak, fine. Oh, by the way, the fact that something that's never happened before is happening, ignore that. He's fine. Come on. The market's not being fooled. This line, Brad, remember, in Philadelphia, division on the line at stake, and before the news of the injury being, in any way important, it was Dallas favored by how many?
3 points at one of the largest books in the world.
Yeah, the big batter said Dallas by a field goal on the road, which implies that the game were in Dallas, the line would be like 9.
That's unbelievable.
That's extreme. Now the line?
Dallas 1.5-point road favorite.
So what we know for sure here, this is the Vegas truth, I promise. The betting market believes that Dak's injury is significant. It is a factor to consider. And if you're ignoring it, you're bucking Vegas. And if you want to buck Vegas, you can bet us anytime. And, those chandeliers are up. There's big million-dollar yeah. chandeliers. They're there for a reason. Dak is hobbled. Doesn't mean they won't win the game. Doesn't mean he won't have a great game. But for sure, the market believes this injury matters, no matter what Dallas says to deceive us.
Well, transitioning from the NFL to college basketball, RJ, where last night it was Gonzaga with a big win. They put up 94 over the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Yeah, this Gonzaga team, man, I know it's been a while that they've established themselves as a real player, but impressive. And North Carolina, actually the opposite. This is amazing. They've lost 4 straight games?
Yep.
First time since 2010, North Carolina has lost 4 straight. Are they that bad? But here's the thing. In the last 6 games, I'm looking at it here, they've had 5 opponents in the top 10.
It's 2 things. It's number 1, North Carolina's obviously not as good as what preseason expectations are.
Which was what?
Number 9 in the preseason, North Carolina.
Are we sure they're not?
Well, they're certainly not without their best player,
yes.
Cole Anthony, a guy, their leading scorer, averaging 19 points per game. He's out for the next 4 to 6 weeks with injury. So certainly the current North Carolina team, not as good as what we expected.
Now, the Zags coach Few, he had a quote here that I really thought was gracious, but also I think very telling about what matters in college basketball. He said, Coach Williams deserves a ton of credit. They could sit at home and play all home games. I think he does this not only to help his team, which is, you know, what he does is play a tough game. This was a true home.
Yep.
So rare for a team like Gonzaga to get that.
Yep.
But he thinks it also not only helps the team, Few said, but the coach for North Carolina understands how important this is for college basketball and that these kind of big-time games need to happen. I think he's so right.
Yep.
And I don't know what Roy Williams' motivation is, but I know for the game, it's just like boxing. It's like, tell me the sport, tell me the contest where less battles, less competition between the best of the best is a good thing, right? Think of boxing. Whatever you think of Mayweather, and it's hard to deny a very talented fighter. If he would have fought, and this sounds absurd, but it's really not, 5 times against Pacquiao, once a year, you know, every Cinco de Mayo weekend or whatever, there's always these big fight weekends here in yep. Vegas for 5 years. Imagine that fight if it were 2-2 going in and Mayweather wins the fifth. So he's up 3-2. Would he be more respected or less respected today? I think more.
Yeah, probably more.
I think more than probably, because if you talk to any fight aficionado, pretty much any of them, and they say, how would Mayweather do against Sugar Ray Leonard? Oh, Leonard, easy. How about Duran? Oh, Duran, easy. How about Hearns? The Hitman? Oh, Hearns. Did you ever see him against Hagler? Yeah, it's like the idea that, and I get the whole nostalgia thing, but the idea that the undefeated guy would get beat by maybe the fourth best guy from a bygone era, just that perception means he's not better off. Right? The zero beside his name for losses doesn't mean much if no one thinks you could beat a guy like Durant that has 9 losses or whatever.
Great point.
To me, back to Temple, it's kind of funny. I haven't talked Temple basketball for a long time, but they used to play the toughest schedule and under Chaney, and it was a situation where they would come into the tournament with like 12 losses.
Yeah, 18 and 12 is what I was going to say.
But they would always be such a tough out, right? And I get boxing is different, right? If you're going to take blows to the head, but in basketball, you're not getting CTE over playing a tough freaking road game. So kudos to North Carolina for doing it, and shame on the teams that aren't doing it. And I think having a national voice like this, having a national show like this on Fox, part of our job is to try to nudge in the direction all of the principals into what's going to help the sport. At heart, we're sports fans, and to me, more college basketball battles between the top teams, home and home, whatever, is a wonderful thing.
And we'll get to another major story out of college basketball. First, I want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like the free AutoZone Fix Finder service with over 5,600 locations nationwide. AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. James Wiseman, the stud freshman from Memphis, has decided to pursue his NBA dreams. He's missed the past 7 games due to a 12-game suspension stemming from an NCAA investigation. He's decided not to go back to school and is now focused on the 2020 NBA draft.
But what about his education?
Well, he'll get it, you know, during his playing days. You know, he can go in the summer. He'll spend
on the
summer.
Road.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's talk NCAA. I mean, really? At what point does this charade end, right? The guy played 3 games.
Yep.
That's not even enough booing. I get it. It's what I call the shrimp buffet people. And Jonas, have you ever been to a college ball, like credentialed?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about, because I have, you know, in a different context, but tell us a little bit about what the experience is like when it comes to the big, fat, 52-year-old dudes, you know, with the 48-inch waist and the shrimp buffet.
Well, I was at Legion Field in Alabama, which is the biggest dump I've ever been to watch a game. And it was South Carolina, Connecticut. And it was, look, there were people having a good time, but there was also some very entitled, when I want my Bud Light in a can, I want it at this temperature or nothing less. And so, yeah, you got a lot of that vibe there. A lot of people that felt a little bit entitled.
So on the game, though, right?
No, it's not. This is supposed to be a game. And it's funny with this, you know, nonprofit. Well, yeah, you don't need profit when you get to eat and drink and travel like a sultan of, you know, of an oil-rich country. And that's really what the NCAA is how long can they maintain this fugazi, this deception that it's about the kids in any way? The hypocrisy on this is absurd. And this is what, you know, speaking of, well, I guess I mentioned Paul Feinbaum yesterday is, you know, Greeny over at ESPN. Always been nice to me, not, you know, but Greeny is not a hot take guy. I think it's fair to say. The only institution that he seems to pound his fist about nonstop is the NCAA. Now, how bad do you have to be that Greeny is going to be nonstop critical of you? Right? It's like, oh, here's my chance, right? I can do it this way. And I think it's justified. And to some degree, you got to blame the NCAA or the NBA for going along with it to some degree. So this guy, and I don't know anything about Wiseman. I don't know anything about his family situation. He played 3 games, about 20 points per game, 11 rebounds. He's supposed to go 3rd, is projected in the upcoming draft. He's 7-1. He's in the middle of a suspension because somehow his mom got paid $11,000.
By Penny Hardaway.
By Penny Hardaway, who's now the coach?
Yes.
This sounds like Dallas, the soap opera, but like in year 11. You know how the soap operas try to be kind of reasonable, and then they get kind of absurd? I mean, this is absurd, but we're all just nodding like it's normal. I'm not going
to
do it.
It's almost like Blue Chips, in which Penny Hardaway did star, has now come to life.
You know something? Something that was, and it probably wasn't even in the movie, that egregious. About the coach is the one doing the pain.
Right.
At least there it's some, you know, other person, right? That's
right.
Doing it.
Yeah.
With plausible deniability. Yeah. Boo NCAA. Let's keep it that simple. When we come back, Brad Power, or now we're not going anywhere. In just a minute, Brad Powers is going to give us 5 bowl picks. 5 underdogs. He expects all 5 to win.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
If you're sophisticated as a bettor, most of the time the answer to any question is it depends. The circumstances matter. This is one I can pound my fist on. College bowl betting. The earlier you can bet, the better. Earlier, better. You know why? Because the guys that really know are waiting, but once they get a chance to bet, they bet as early as possible. So there's really 3 main limits when it comes to a bowl game. One is the early limits, right? Right when the number comes out, you can bet those. Maybe in a small bowl game at a Scaredy Cat casino here in Vegas, 2,000, 2 dimes. Now, game week, that's, hey, games this week, within the week, $5,000. And then game day, $10,000. Now, why do the books do this? One, they realize that most people who are betting early are sharper, so they want to limit those bets. They don't want to take too much from them. And the guys that own 7-Elevens in New Jersey that are here for the weekend trying to escape it all, well, they might bet $10,000, but they won't do it till game day. So they want to up the limits then. So what ends up happening is you'll see drastic line moves over the course of 3 weeks or whatever before the game. First, the guys at 2,000 is enough for them. There's some sharp guys out there.
Absolutely.
Boom, boom, boom. Now the line's drifting. Now it gets to be game week. Boom, 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 boom. 5,000. Oh, moves even more. Come game day, man, there's usually not a lot of value left. So along the lines of this concept, what we want to do is talk about 5 games that Brad likes on the money line, underdogs he expects to win. Now, why would there be underdogs he expects to win any more in the bowl game than any other time, it's because the variance in effort, the variance in matchups, whereas you have teams that never play each other, schemes that never play each other. Think of the blowouts you see when there's college bowls. Teams that are 10-point dogs winning by 20. You just don't see that hardly at all in the regular season. You see it more, much more in the bowls. So what's the smart way to attack it? If you like the dog, look at the money line. And Brad, if I'm not mistaken, and I saw this in your research, in the regular season, the underdog winning outright is one of seven games?
Yep.
And the underdog winning outright in the bowls is?
One out of four.
So almost doubly as often.
Yep.
Now you would think the money lines are different, but they're not.
No.
Literally, if it's a 10-point favorite, the money line's the same. But you almost have double the chance to win. We're going to give you five of these games, and literally we only need to win two of them in order to have a profitable bowl season.
All right, guys, let's start with the Alamo Bowl, where Utah right now is a 7-point favorite against Texas.
And I'm going with Texas to win this game outright, and it comes down to questionable motivation for Utah. Utah is coming off one of the most disappointing losses in the history of the school. They're one win away from a possible college football playoff berth. And even if they did win, they were going to at least make the Rose Bowl, something they've never done before. On top of it, they got a couple key players. That's a good context clue that are going to sit this game out. And on the other side, you have a Texas program that's really good in the underdog, specifically the head coach, Tom Herman. Bowl games as an underdog, Tom Herman has won all three of them outright as an underdog. I like Texas to win outright over Utah.
I got to say, if I'm going to go against one of these, it's this one.
Okay.
And here's why.
It's the biggest one.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. It's Texas is off a disappointing season.
Yep.
And the idea they're going to, where's this game at?
The Alamo Bowl, San Antonio.
Oh, my, I bet they're just so excited. The kids from Austin are so excited to drive up to San Antonio, right? So I question the motivation. I guess the home field advantage is going to be there.
Yep.
You also got to wonder, is Utah going to say, you know something, we were so far from winning this thing that we're not there yet. Let's redeem the season. Because if they lose both, it's almost like the whole meaning the championship game of the Pac-12 in this game, it's going to be like, oh, that was a fugazi, another use of that. Early, it was a fake. They win this one. It's like, oh, one lot. What do they finish? Maybe 6th, 7th in the country if they win this game?
Certainly top 10.
So I get your handicap. The premise is a team that has a heartbreaking loss. I just think since Utah was so far away from both conceptually starting the year to believe they could get to the Final Four and then so far away from winning the game they needed to, maybe this is more redemption than it is a disappointment.
I could see that.
But that said, it's a reasonable people can disagree. When we come back, the other four games, and I like all these four. We'll tell you the truth, though. I don't like that first one. But hey, last year Brad had five. He won money on them. We'll be back with those and the biggest NBA game of the season.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. As we continue on, taking a look at Brad Powers' top five money line underdog bets here in the college football bowl season. We go to the Cure Bowl, RJ, coming up this Saturday. Liberty and Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern, a 4.5-point favorite.
You got to wonder if some of the names of these bowls deserve booze also. All right, so the theory is, Brad, you got five money line picks. You only need to win two of them in order to profit. Last year, you profited off your five. The theory is, history tells us, these money line underdogs win almost doubly as often in the bowl season. High variance, let's exploit it.
Yeah, and in this instance, let's exploit Liberty being fired up for playing in their first bowl game in school history for them. And on top of that, Liberty's playing a quirky offense in Georgia Southern that runs the option. Liberty has extra time to prepare for the option. Add it all up, I like Liberty.
Yeah, so that is kind of the opposite of the regular season when the option teams that play opponents that aren't used to it, those opponents, big disadvantage. You have the whole bowl season, the lead up to get ready for it. So second pick, Liberty. Liberty, by the way, plus 170. First pick was Texas, plus 230.
The Miami Hurricanes are six-point favorites against Louisiana Tech in the Independence Bowl.
Yeah, we're taking Louisiana Tech plus the 200 here, and it's more a play against a Miami team that's already proven to be high variance this season. Miami is the only team in the entire country to lose not one, not two, but three games as a double-digit favorite outright this season, and already three Miami players have decided to skip out. Louisiana Tech, I like here.
And remember, it's not just the absence of the players that skip out. It's the culture. It's the sense of this game doesn't really matter. Think about
right
a party
point.
You go to, right? Everyone's supposed to be there. You get a text, I'm not showing up. Next text, I'm not showing up. You feel like an idiot for being there,
yep.
Right? To some degree, these Miami players are going to feel ambivalent about being there. Pick number three, La Tech.
It's Notre Dame and Iowa State in the Camping World Bowl. The Fighting Irish are 3.5-point favorites.
The classic Camping World Bowl.
Yeah, and how fired
I remember as a kid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and how fired up is a 10-2 Notre Dame team to be here in any other season in their history? 10-2 Notre Dame teams playing in the Orange Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. So I question Notre Dame's motivation. I don't question Iowa State's motivation. Within 24 hours, the fans already bought out their entire allotment of tickets and asked for more. Iowa State also better than their 7-5 record. Four games Iowa State lost by a combined 11 points. I like Iowa State to upset Notre Dame.
But don't losers lose?
You could say that.
Because isn't this Campbell, Coach Campbell? Is that his name?
Yep.
Supposedly. Have we seen his birth certificate? I mean, the he's like, no comment. The reality is this Campbell's a lovable loser. Oh, he's always going to have the close games. I'm not sure I want to play a money line on a lovable loser like this.
Mm.
But let's be candid. You have a vested interest in Campbell because you thought Ohio State made a mistake from passing up the guy that averages five losses a year.
I did say that.
Guys, in a bowl game coming up tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern time, it is the Frisco Bowl, and it's Utah State, now 6.5-point favorites against Kent State.
And I like Kent State plus the 200 here. And again, it's another team in Kent State very rarely makes a bowl game. Only the second bowl game appearance since 1972 for Kent State. A dynamic young coach. And let's talk about Utah State, their opponent. I think there's already signs showing that Utah State doesn't want to be there. Not one, not two, but three players, including the starting quarterback, got busted for pot just two nights ago. I'm not sure they're entirely focused on the game. Kent State the pick.
Now, the line move off of the arrest or bust, whatever it was, explain how that line moved.
Yeah, so Utah State was a 7-point favorite when news broke that those three players, you know, got busted for pot, went all the way down to 4.5, but then it crept back up to 6.5, RJ, because it looks like those three players are going to play in this game.
So why would it move at all then? I mean, ultimately from the 7, it's probably a sign of what you're saying, which is the idea it's a sign of a disinterested team.
Yeah.
Though I'm not sure how many kids that are pot smokers are going to say, nah, I'll pass today. I got a game next week. Right?
Like, yeah,
I mean,
good
it
point.
Feels like you're either a pot smoker or you're not.
Yeah.
But, you know, so here's what we got. 5 picks. It is Kent State, Texas, Iowa State, La Tech, Liberty. If 2 of the 5 win, you profit, and so do you out there across the country.
We got a shooter.
Guys, we will get to the game of the night in sports coming up here in one moment. Do want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service with over 5,600 locations nationwide. AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. In a line that just moved on pregame.com, it is the Bucks, now just 3.5-point favorites, hosting the Lakers coming up at 8 Eastern time on TNT.
Now, that tells me, and I'm just predicting here, that Anthony Davis will play, right? It was 4.5. Boom, 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 3.5. Let me think. Lakers are the dog. Oh, Lakers just got better. How'd they get better? Probably some word, somehow, Anthony Davis is going to play. Don't know for sure. That'd be a bet I'd make. And it goes to show you guys, Vegas, the odds, they tell you a truth that nobody else does. That's what we do here, is try to share that truth with you. By the way, how big is this game? The Bucks had an 18-game winning streak till the last game before this one. They lost. And the Lakers had a long 14-game road winning streak. They lost, both being ready for tonight's battle.
If you missed any of today's show, including five Moneyline underdog picks in the college football bowl season, check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are back tomorrow for Pickpalooza on a Friday, 6 Eastern time, right here on FSR.
Straight out of Vegas!